So how do you see the whole thing revolving? The whole election campaign is revolving around the manifesto of the Congress party. At the one side, the Rahul Gandhi and the Priyanka Gandhi and the other senior leaders of the Congress party, they are just pointing out their manifesto. But the Prime Minister, the Home Minister, and the other leaders of BJP are categorically saying that this manifesto is an imprint of the Muslim League that is not for the betterment of the people. It is for the betterment of their party only. And some of them are saying that this manifesto has been meant for Pakistan elections. So how do you see this, sir?
I feel sorry for them. I'm amazed that a national leaders like the people you listed or mentioned, including Prime Minister, would talk like this, which is completely irresponsible, not called for. It is a lie. Get away with it. Election Commission, Supreme Court, and others should clamp on that. How can you lie to public? And how could a manifesto of a 138-year-old party be labeled as a manifesto of Muslim League? It has nothing to do with Muslim. There is not even a word in there. So first thing I would say is I am ashamed of my Prime Minister. He is a pathological liar. His team is lying about this manifesto. How can I trust people like this who lie through their teeth and also feel comfortable and go on repeating these lies? It is not respectful. It is not decent. It has no dignity. And the code of conduct should apply to everybody. Just to please vote bank or just to create divide and entice people, you can't do these kinds of things. I am puzzled. I am literally shocked that he would say. First, I thought it was AI generated message. So I ignored it. I said, some fellow is playing games. No Prime Minister would speak like this. Then I saw more and more of it. And I was shocked that he thinks the Indian audience is murk. Indian audience can be manipulated. But let's not underestimate the intelligence of the common people. They know what is right and what is wrong. We'll sell your Mangal Sutra. I mean, come on. How can you do that? Okay? How can you insult our women? For Prime Minister to say that they will take all your property and give it to people with more children, he is insulting Muslims. Muslims really don't have more children. Statistics are known. He is insulting a country. And he thinks he can say whatever he feels like saying. He doesn't realize that he is also a citizen of a country. He also has moral responsibility. He is not above law. And to say that they will take all these properties, steal of Mangal Sutra, steal your gold, okay? Where did you get all this stuff? Who told you this? Can you read? It looks like you can't read. It looks like you can't comprehend. It looks like, you know, you're just making stories up on your own. It may be because of panic. It may be because of fear. It may be because of the fact that first phase of voting was too low and there was panic set in. The manifesto of the Congress Party is very, very well drafted. And we will talk about that in a minute. Okay. India is angry at PM's comment. Nation is not happy. Okay, maybe a small group of people are okay with it. And when his party people defend it, I get even more surprised. That who are these people? They don't have their own brain? Are they like robots wired that whatever PM says is the great words of wisdom? And nobody is there to question, saying, Mr. Prime Minister, this is not fair. This is not really respectful. This is not dignified. You can't say that. You are a Prime Minister of a nation. World is watching you. And I can tell you, global audience feels ashamed of the Prime Minister and the country. Global audience feels that he is lighting the fire unnecessarily. There is no need for him to panic. Just do the right thing that needs to be done, and people of India will speak and vote. So I am very disappointed. I'm disturbed. As a citizen, as a person who travels a great deal abroad, with great respect for India, my head is always high because of what we have accomplished in many areas wherever I go. And I travel quite a bit. People respect what we have done in IT and telecom and technology. And people remind me that, look, we respect India because you have a huge amount of human talent, human capacity. And for Prime Minister of a country to say this insults my human talent. So I am very, very disturbed. And I'm sure there are many like me, at least in my circle, who feel this was not called for. And maybe PM slipped. Maybe he just, you know, flipped. And if he says that, look, I'm sorry, it's fine. But if he keeps on believing in it and keeps on saying it, it'll be sad. We all make mistakes. Once in a while, things do come out of our mouth which we shouldn't have said. But then to be able to retract, recognize, respect other people's opinion, and apologize is called for. But I don't think PM will apologize. That's not his nature, because that's the authoritarian mindset, that I am the supreme. I know the answer. I can say anything about anybody and get away with it. I can put anybody in jail. I can, you know, file case against anybody because my entire machinery is for me. That's not democracy. So now let's talk about Ambolia. Sure, please.
Sir, so that's what I was talking. I'm talking about, because today also the Prime Minister has said that Congress Party has always done the Muslim appeasement, and they are always in favor of Muslim reservation since the Constitution was made. And several times attempts were made. He also discussed about the statement of Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Manmohan Singh, when he said that the first right of the on the resources of our country should be from the minority from the minorities. And he's saying that Congress Party is taking away the reservation, always attempted to take away the reservation of SC, ST, OBCs and give it to Muslims. So this is the Muslim appeasement politics of Congress Party, which they have always done.
No, that's wrong. Congress Party always has focused on people at the bottom of the economic pyramid. Whether they are OBC, Dalits, Muslims, tribals, poor people, hungry people, homeless people, that is the platform of the Congress Party. Our job is to lift people at the bottom of the economic pyramid and not create more billionaires. If more billionaires happen in the process, well and good. But billionaires are smart enough, more capable than we are, they'll take care of themselves. They don't need our help. But the poor people need our help. So we have to focus on poor people. There has been injustice done to them because inequality has increased. If inequality had not increased, we would feel we are doing much better. But in the last 10 years, inequality has substantially increased. 22 richest people in the country, I'm told, own wealth similar to 700 million poor people in India. I mean, can you imagine this inequality? That doesn't mean you rob 22 billionaires and distribute cash to poor. That's not the idea. Idea is to create policy environment where there is more equitable growth. Think of economy from bottom up and not top down. Okay. PM's approach has been take poor people's wealth and distribute it to the few rich friends. That's what has happened if you look at it in his terms. Okay. I don't think he did this consciously, perhaps, but that's what has happened. Okay. So people should be telling PM that, wait a minute, you are responsible for increasing inequality. You have not created jobs. You have gotten us to a point where inflation is out of control. You have created an environment where our graduates can't get jobs. Okay? So you should be blamed. Why are you blaming somebody else? You promised the country that your government will create 20 million new jobs every year, year after year, for 10 years. You have not done that. Just one point program. I don't want to discuss anything else. I would focus on only one thing: employment, employment, employment. Because we are a country of young people. We need to provide them meaningful work. We need to think of their future, their families. Where is the work? And if there is no work, they will waste that energy on wrong things. There'll be danga fasad. They'll be frustrated. There'll be psychological problems. People will go on drug. Okay, all kinds of things will happen in the society if you don't have meaningful jobs for them. You have failed on that. And now you are blaming the rest of the other people. I think people of India are smart enough. They are beginning to see the light at the end. That these people have really not created the kind of environment that should have been created. And maybe PM is reacting to that, that people see through the lies and they are trying to hide their failures. But let's take a minute and talk about the manifesto.
Manifesto, okay. Yes. Yes.
Which I believe is excellent. Of course, I would say that. So you can take that with a grain of salt. Normally in Congress Party manifesto, a complicated process takes long time, gets input from large number of people within the party, outside the party, professionals, domain experts, and public. This manifesto is not prepared by three or four people. It is prepared through a process. I can tell you, I have had an opportunity to work on many manifestos in the past. And it is a very open process, very transparent process. In Rajiv Gandhi's time, when we prepared 89 election manifesto, there were two committees set up. One headed by Narasimha Rao, Pranab Mukherjee, Arjun Singh and others, which was a party political heavyweights.
Yes.
Other were in the background, which was known only to few people, which I headed along with Krishna Rao, General Krishna Rao, V. Krishnamurti, and Mr. Ras Gotra. So there were two parallel processes going on. And the idea was to bring both together. So there is inside input, outside input, professional input, and it takes about 3-4 months. So this manifesto is perhaps one of the best manifestos I have seen in the Congress Party. It has, to me, three main elements. First element is about putting our constitution back on track. It is about making sure that all our institutions are independent, autonomous, judiciary works, election commission is working, all other independent agencies like ED, IT and all are not influenced by political bosses. Then all the civil society. Civil society should be put back on track, so they are allowed to function on areas like education, health, women's issues and others. Third, media. Media has to be made more independent, more responsive to the needs of the people, fair, just, then anti-corruption laws, because corruption is a problem all the time in every government. And then more about art and culture, which to me is a very large potential industry in India, which has not been tapped properly. So this is the overarching idea. And this is important to prepare the platform for everything else we want to do. Everything we want to do must be through democratic process, where our constitution is respected, justice is delivered, people are not harassed unnecessarily, media is fair, corruption is reduced. Having done that, the next thing is, which is in the manifesto, the first thing listed, is provide equity. To provide equity, we need to know more statistics. Who are the people who need help? So that's why census. How many Dalits? How many OBC? What kind of OBC? How many Muslims? Minorities? How many Buddhists? How many Jains? Whatever. So we need a good, like Rahul Gandhi says, X-ray. So we know what we are dealing with. And then we need to make sure that they are represented in the system so there is more bhagidari. A good example is university vice chancellors. How many vice chancellors are from OBC, Dalit, minority? Very few. Now, these are the institutions of learning. These institutions create people for the future. And if their leaders are not from that community, how would they understand India? So first is equity. Second is youth. Huge amount of energy is bundled up. I believe Indian workforce is the workforce for the world. Nobody will have the kind of workforce people need in AI-related activities than India. India provided the world capabilities for IT. India should be the leader for the world in AI era. So I don't look at Indian youth as only to help India. Indian youth should be helping Africa, Latin America. They should be all over like they are today, but they are in software industry. Then women, then farmers and workers. These are the five categories of people, which probably include most of the people at the bottom of the economic pyramid. This doesn't talk about billionaires, high tech for the sake of high tech. You know, technology has to be taken to people to solve their problems and not to generate fancy products for export. Fine, if that happens, that's good. But that should not be our goal. Then the third area, beside the high moral ground on constitution, democracy, and all, and these five groups of people, is really economy. We can't have top-down approach to economy. We must have bottom-up. We got to focus on small and medium-scale industries, local production, solving local problem, decentralization. We have talked about all of these things, and now is the time to implement. In the past, we didn't have tools to implement because we were not connected. Now we are a nation of connected billion and billion and a half. So we need to look at economy in different light. With that goes infrastructure, then federalism, central state relations. Today, when BJP government talks about double engine Sarkar, what they are saying is we will favor states that are run by BJP. That's not the idea of federalism. Federalism is all about fair share for everybody. So we need to improve central state relations. We need to further decentralize. If I had an option, I would work on decentralization to district level. Every district should be, and I've said this time and time again, every district should be independent in creating their own jobs, providing their own education, providing their own health services. Then you will create more opportunities. Why should a salary of a teacher be decided in Delhi? I don't understand. Because salary of a teacher in Bihar would be different from Orissa, would be different from Karnataka. It's okay. So federalism is a very important issue in the national security. I believe entire defense industry will have to be restructured. Today's defense industry is based on old idea of defense, machine tanks, fighter jets. You need more robots, you need more AI, and you need lot many more drones. You probably need 5 million drones. You need electronic fencing. All these technologies are available today. So the whole defense infrastructure will have to be rethought through, I believe. Because today's defense infrastructure, world over, even in America, I mean, what good are these machine tanks today? They have no value. But drones have a lot of values. You can send drones wherever you want, and look at the war being fought today. It is more based on drones. Do we really have that kind of drone capabilities? No. But we are still importing fighter jets from this and fighter jets from that. Okay. And then finally, the most important issue to me is environment. Everyone in India complains about heat. Everyone in India complains about air to breathe. I mean, in a capital city like Delhi, the pollution is unreal. You can't breathe. Bombay pollution is unreal. Bangalore traffic is unmanageable. Water is not there. These are the fundamental issues we need to sort it out. This is where technology is required, and we can do that. So, Congress Party manifesto really talks about all of these issues in a very interesting way. So, rather than reading this manifesto the way I suggested, Prime Minister is reading in this manifesto that we will steal your Mangalsutra. What is he reading? Or is he just dreaming something? Has he gone mad? That's what bothers me.
But sir, one thing which is the Prime Minister is pointing out is the promise made by the Congress leader Rahul Gandhi or in the manifesto that if the Congress party will be voted to power, the party would conduct a survey to run a check on who possesses the wealth in the country and undertake an exercise to redistribute the same among the people.
It doesn't mean that you are going to take their wealth and give it to somebody. It means to create new policies so the concentration of wealth can be prevented. It's like Monopoly Act. Okay? It doesn't mean that I'll take your shirt away. All right? That's how do you read that? I don't understand. How can you do that? Okay? It's not physically possible to do that. But you can say the future policies would be such that this particular group cannot be into everything. There is a Monopoly Act in America also. You know, we have to make sure that few people become so rich that they begin to run government. We have to make sure that's the requirement in democracy everywhere in the world. Nothing wrong in being rich. Nothing wrong in accumulating wealth. But to what point? Let me tell you, in America, there is an inheritance tax. So if, let's say, one has $100 million worth of wealth, and when he dies, he can only transfer probably 45% to his children. 55% is grabbed by government. Now, that's an interesting law. It says, you in your generation made wealth, you are leaving now, you must leave your wealth for public. Not all of it, half of it. Which to me sounds fair. In India you don't have that. If somebody is worth 10 billion and he dies, his children get 10 billion. Public get nothing. And law says, you get half of it, public gets half of it. So these are the kind of issues people will have to debate. Discuss. I don't know what the conclusion would be at the end of the day. But when we talk about redistributing wealth, we are talking about new policies, new programs that are in the interest of the people and not in the interest of super rich only.
इसी मुद्दे को मैं आपसे हिंदी में समझना चाहूंगा कि जब ये बात आ रही है कि हम रिडिस्ट्रीब्यूट करेंगे फाइनेंशियल इंस्टीट्यूशंस का सर्वे करेंगे कि किसके पास कितनी संपत्ति है और उसको रिडिस्ट्रीब्यूट करेंगे, इसका मतलब हम लोग क्या समझें, कांग्रेस पार्टी क्या करने वाली है? क्योंकि प्रधानमंत्री ने सदी तौर पर ये बयान दे दिया कि कांग्रेस पार्टी जो है आप लोगों का सामान ले लेगी, आप लोगों की संपत्ति ले लेगी.
कैसे ले सकते हैं? आपके घर में आके सामान ले जाएंगे, आपका फर्नीचर ले जाएंगे? ये क्या बात कर रहे हैं आप? ये पागलपन है ना. ओके, आपके जूते ले जाएंगे क्योंकि जूते बड़े महंगे हैं? ऐसा नहीं बनता ना. ये एक पॉलिसी इश्यू है कि कांग्रेस पार्टी ऐसी पॉलिसी बनाएगी जिससे वेल्थ डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन वुड बी बेटर. एक अच्छा एग्जाम्पल दू, समझिए कि हमारे वहां अभी मिनिमम वेज नहीं है, अमेरिका में है मिनिमम वेज. सो हम लोग हमारे घर के नौकर को कुछ भी देते हैं, किसी को 1,000 रुपया देते हैं, किसी को 10,000 रुपया देते हैं. ओके, और कोई 18 घंटा काम करता है, कोई 12 घंटा काम करता है. इफ वी कम अप विथ ए मिनिमम वेज in the country, saying you must pay so much money to poor. Now that's distribution of wealth. Aaj kya ho raha hai ke rich people don't pay their peon, servants, home help enough, but they spend that money in vacation in Dubai and vacation in London. Okay. So if they paid little more, that's a distribution of wealth. Okay. We don't have minimum wage law yet. Yeah. I even tackle issues like, why should you call somebody knocker? I don't understand. That knocker word should be completely out of the dictionary. It's a home help. ये हमारी नौकरानी है. अरे व्हाट अ डिमीनिंग थिंग टू से. ये चलते आ रहा है जनरेशन से. हमारे ऑप्शन हो तो हम निकाल देंगे, बोले किसी को नौकर मत कहिए. दे आर ऑल्सो ह्यूमन बींग, दे डिजर्व रिस्पेक्ट डिग्निटी. सो देर आर मेनी इश्यूज लाइक दिस व्हेन वी यू टॉक अबाउट डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन ऑफ वेल्थ. It is not that you sit on a chair and say, okay, here this bill or this money, I'll be distributing it to everybody. Okay? It's naive to think like that. And a prime minister of a country thinks like that, that means I got some concerns about his brain. Okay? I mean, what are you talking? You are really dealing with the policy issues to redistribute wealth. Okay. And when you ask for the data, you are really trying to understand what is the distribution today. We don't have good data on all of this. I think we need data to decide on policy issues. We don't need data to distribute wealth. We need data to decide on policy issues going forward. Okay.
So, sir, how do you see the first phase has already gone? The first phase, around 100 Lok Sabha seat, and voters have voted for the government to be made for the member of parliament. So after this, Prime Minister is saying that India Alliance is all set to be back to the pavilion in the first phase, and even he's attacking more and more to the India Alliance on the campaigning of the second phase of the poll in our country. So how do you see, and how hopeful are you for your camp?
I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not an expert. But from talking to friends who I respect, I believe first phase went well for India Alliance. I was talking to some inside for people with friends who have inside information. For example, in Tamil Nadu, they believe DMK will win all 40 out of 40 seats. It may be 37, it may be 38, but they are saying all 40 out of 40. So I think first phase has gone well for India Alliance. If people of India think about the future and just focus on three or four things. One, did Prime Minister deliver on the promise of job? Did Prime Minister bring black money back? Did Prime Minister control inflation? Is this Prime Minister lying all the time and dividing people? Is that good for India? Do we want India where people are constantly fighting with each other? If people think about these things, they will come to conclusions. Important. Rule of law. Constitution must be respected. And it is time to bring about change. 10 years is enough. And we have seen the results in 10 years. It's all talk and nothing to show on the ground. It's all lies after lies, assuming that people are stupid and they will listen to all the crap and they have no intelligence to vote on their own. So if people of India think about this, they will decide their destiny. Have trust in them. They are good people. They are smart people. They know what needs to be done. Youth wants job. Farmers want better income. Women want safety. Okay, Dalits, OBC minorities want protection. And as a majority, it's my duty to take care of minority. I'm not doing any favorites. Like in my house, I always say, if there was a handicapped person in my house, that handicapped person will always get more attention. The other day, I gave an example to somebody. I had a friend who died in a car accident, Maulik Bhai Mehta. He was only 2 feet. A brilliant man, a great lawyer, accountant in Baroda. And he came to America. And when you go on the escalator, you know, he's afraid. So I'll carry him. I'll carry him with me. He couldn't sit on the chair at a hotel restaurant. So I'll carry him, put him on the chair. It never occurred to him or me that I am doing a favor to him, or, you know, he felt that he needed some help. It was a normal thing to do. Okay. Now, I have to do that because that's my job. Okay. Now, somebody can come and criticize me, look, you are paying too much attention to that fellow and not to this fellow. Of course, I'm paying too much attention because he needs it. It's my responsibility to pay attention. And I think you can scale that from family and friends to neighborhood, community, and nation. We all have a responsibility to help people who are underprivileged, whether it's a little boy or an innocent woman or older man, minority, somebody being hated, somebody being beaten up. We have to stand up. So that's
thank
not.
You, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving us the time and elaborating on the issue of the manifesto, which is going around in parliament election. And every day we are seeing the new issues coming up. And it is the Congress-centric, Congress manifesto-centric campaign we are seeing right now. On the other hand, but Congress party is also talking about the manifesto, and as well as the Prime Minister and the BJP.
Congress manifesto is the road of the future. Congress manifesto is the direction that nation should take. Congress manifesto is designed for the people of India. So I hope people pay more attention, and I would request again Prime Minister to watch what he says. It is not good for him. It is not good for me. It is not good for our nation.